The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Boyfriend.
Mr. Romano? I want to talk to you, Mr. Romano.
We got nothing to talk about, Rudy. You keep away from my house. You keep away from Anna.
I want to talk to you, Mr. Romano. You hear what I say, Mr. Romano?
Rudy Herron was described in our wanted circulars as 20 years old, dark, slight build, soft-spoken, and a potential killer. Herron had shot and seriously wounded the father of a girl whom he had been dating. After the shooting, he left New York and was seen in Pittsburgh and was known to have been in Kansas City. Our bureau was asked to help in the search for Herron. He was believed to be traveling in a stolen car, a late model Ford convertible.
Now, just because the boy drives a nice car, that's not saying who he is or where he came from, is he?
I didn't say that. I said...
He might be anybody.
Carl, Bert is 18. You can't expect
her... What's he do?
He works down at Selmer's garage right now, but Bert is...
Where does he come from?
Well, I don't know, Carl, but you can't ask a child to give you a pedigree every time somebody takes her to a movie.
Well, I don't want a pedigree. All I want is to know a little something about her friends. Is that asking too much?
Maybe it is.
Oh, nonsense. When you and I were going together...
It's different now.
Well, what's different?
Well, people travel more. They get out in the world.
So?
Carl, we've got to go along with the times.
Well, I'm going along. I know what year it is. I know about the atom bombs and rock and roll and everything else. Now, all I'm saying is I'd like to know who Berta's going out with, that's all.
Bye, Daddy.
Oh, let me see how the dress looks.
Oh, well, it's too loose in the waist, but it'll have to do for tonight. Night, and don't wait up for me. I'll be late. Rudy, I heard the horn. I was coming.
Well, I know you did, but I thought maybe it was time you introduced me to your folks.
Oh, well, sure, if you want to. Come on in. Mama, this is Rudy Harrison. He wants to meet you. Daddy, this is Rudy Harrison.
Glad to know you, young man.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Welch. You too, ma'am. Bert has told me a lot about both of you.
Well, I'm glad she's not going to keep you a secret.
Oh, so am I. I figured if you met me, maybe you wouldn't worry about her so much.
Oh, we never worry about Bert, Rudy.
Well, and you're pretty unusual parents if you don't. Anyways, I wanted to meet you and...
And if we're going to make it in time for the feature...
Oh, yeah, we'd better get going. Well, good night, Mr. Welch. Good night, Mrs. Welch. I'll try to have her home at a reasonable hour.
That's all right, Rudy. Just drive careful, that's all.
I will.
Night, everybody.
Good night, dear.
Good night, Berta.
You feel better, Carl?
Well, he seems like a very nice young man. I'm glad we met him. I feel much better.
Although Rudy Herron's picture was published widely, it was many months before we got any lead on him. A soldier on leave had been given a lift by Herron, and the two men had become quite friendly during the 200 miles that the soldier, Sergeant Howard Jenkins, had ridden with Herron.
Then when I saw his picture in the post office, I talked it over with my CO, and he said I better come in and see you people.
Sergeant, when did you take this ride with Herron?
Well, that was the beginning of my furlough, March 3rd, 6 weeks ago.
Where did he pick you up?
Right outside the gate of the post. We got a shed there where servicemen wait for a lift.
And where did he let you off?
Near Ardmore.
Did you get any idea which way he was going after he let you off?
No, sir, I didn't. I don't think he even knew.
Why, Sergeant?
Well, we got to talking about different parts of the country. You know, where he'd been, where I'd been. And I got the idea he was looking for some place to settle down a while.
Did he say that?
Well, no, not exactly, but... He asked me about my hometown, what it was like. Could a guy get a decent job there?
What is your hometown?
I come from Northport, Oklahoma. It's on the Red River.
Did Herron seem interested?
As far as I remember, he kind of thought Oklahoma was the end of the world. I guess he was looking for a place to hide out, huh?
Certainly sounds that way.
Well, we sure chewed the fat about places to live. He might have stayed right there in Ardmore where he let me off, or he might have gone on to Tulsa or Oklahoma City.
You think he seemed to like the idea of Oklahoma?
It seemed that way to me. I told him there was lots of money around. If he picked one of those suburbs around the big cities, he'd find plenty to do.
You remember anything else you talked about, Sergeant?
Women.
No one specific?
No, sir, just women in general. And automobiles. He kicked that car of his over 100 on the straightaway to show me what it could do. It was a stolen car, huh?
That's right.
Never can tell about people, can you? Seemed like such a nice guy. So nice and quiet spoken.
Rudy?
Yeah?
You haven't said a word for the last half hour. What's the matter?
Nothing.
You don't have to talk, but if something's bothering you...
No, nothing's bothering me. Except you.
Huh?
You bother me. All the time.
Good bother or just bother?
Good.
Oh, Rudy.
I like you, Berta.
Well, that's not very enthusiastic.
Well, I wouldn't want to accept your family's confidence in me.
Never mind them.
Oh, I do, I do. I want people to approve of me.
Well, they do, if you want to know the truth.
And of course, the trouble is that families change after a while.
Why should they?
Well, if I got serious about you, you know, something crazy like that.
Is that crazy?
What do you think?
I don't think it is at all.
You kind of go for me, don't you?
I shouldn't tell you so.
But you do, huh?
As if you didn't know.
So you tell me.
I go for you, Rudy.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that all you're going to say?
No. No, I'm going to say a lot more, Berta. I got some plans for you and me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got some pretty interesting ideas. If your folks don't get in the way.
Oh, I won't let them.
Yeah, well, we'll see when the time comes. I hope they won't. It'll be easier all the way around. Believe me.
Although we intensified our search in Oklahoma, we didn't feel too certain of this lead until the car stolen by Harron was found in a used car lot near Oklahoma City. The owner of the lot recognized Harron's picture as the man who had sold him the car. Considering the information given us by Sergeant Jenkins, we drew a 50-mile circle around Oklahoma City and asked the cooperation of every law enforcement agency in the area. If Harron had taken a job, he might be working as a mechanic or in the stockroom of a car dealer, his only known occupations.
Well, I don't mind a fella being a mechanic. I mean, a mechanic's just as good as the next man. What I mean...
Yes?
Well, what I mean is, it's getting serious.
It's bound to sometime, Carl.
But what do we know about him? He's been here 3 months. They like him at the garage.
Well?
Well, why doesn't he ever talk about his family back east? He never talks about anything that happened before he got here.
Why should he?
Well, don't you want to know?
Of course, but you know how Berta is.
What does he tell her?
I don't know, Carl.
Well, doesn't she say anything to you?
No.
I just can't understand young people these days. When I was growing up...
Now,
I...
you didn't ask your father if you could go out with me.
Well, of course I didn't.
Well?
Well, what? Berta's not me. She's a girl. She just got out of high school, and the first boy she meets...
Carl, she's been going with boys since she was old enough to walk.
Oh, now, you know what I mean.
Oh, yes, I suppose I do. But I don't see what you can do about it.
Well, I can have a talk with him.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Why?
Well, it's interfering.
Well, all right, it's interfering, but we've got it right.
And he seems like a sensitive boy. He might really...
I can't help it. I want to know more about him than I do now, and I think the way to find out is to ask him.
Back to The Boyfriend in just a moment. How'd you like to make $1,000 easy? Maybe on one of the big quiz shows. The loaded question usually concerns American history. All you have to do is bone up on the answers. Well, let's say the quizmaster asks you, what freedom
is guaranteed by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Well, you remember that the first 10 amendments are known as our Bill of Rights. But with what right is the First Amendment concerned? Trial by jury? Freedom of assembly? You're not sure. Then you see a soldier in the last row waving a newspaper in the air. And without batting an eye, you say, the First Amendment guarantees our freedom of the press. You win $1,000, and your picture goes into your hometown newspaper. One of thousands of newspapers published across the United States. Free to print the truth, as it's given them to know the truth. So remember, in case you're on a quiz show and the question comes up, freedom of the press is in the First Amendment. It is one of our freedoms.
And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Boyfriend.
With the cooperation of the Oklahoma police, a possible lead on Herron was reported in the town of Wilmot, about 25 miles from Oklahoma City. A mechanic who had been working in the town for several months answered his general description. Late on a Saturday afternoon, Agent Reynolds and I called on the owner of a garage and showed him Herron's picture.
Yes, that kind of looks like him, but Harrison's got black hair.
He might have dyed his hair.
Oh, yeah, guess so. He doesn't seem like the kind of fellow that throws a gun around. I mean, he's real quiet. Minds his own business.
When will he be back here, Mr. Devers?
Not till Monday morning. He's off from noon Saturday till 8 Monday morning.
Where's he living, Mr. Devers?
Well, I don't know exactly. I mean, when he first come here, he was staying at the motel. I guess he's got a room in town someplace.
What address have you got on his Social Security form?
Well, I guess I put the motel. That's what he gave me when he first came here. I mean, I got to keep so many government records.
You don't think he's at the motel now?
No. No, well, I guess, as a matter of fact, he did tell me he was getting room somewhere, but I didn't bother to change the forms. I mean, if you'd see the paperwork I got to do for those tax people.
Yes, we know.
Anyhow, I'm not sure that picture's him.
In that case, we'll ask you not to tell anybody about our visit here. If we can't locate this man between now and Monday morning, we'll be back here.
Well, I won't say anything. I mean, if he's really as bad as all that, I wouldn't want him working here anyway.
What's the name of the motel where he first stayed?
The High Ridge. It's right on Route 6 on the north edge of town.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Devers.
That's all right.
One more thing. Does he have any friends here at the garage or around town?
Maybe he has, but I wouldn't know. He just does his work and goes. He doesn't talk much about himself.
And you're not a talkative kind of fella, Rudy. I mean, not that I like a fella that gabs his head off, but... Well, we don't know an awful lot about you, do we?
What would you like to know, Mr. Welch?
Well, I don't mean we want to pry.
Do you object to me seeing Berta?
Well, no, we don't. All we
Whenever you ask me to bring her home at a certain time, I do it, don't I?
Well, yes,
I don't
course,
say that it's important what I did before I came here, just as long as I
Rudy,
act like
now,
I
should. Don't get
Don't
sore.
You think that I'm good enough for Berta? Maybe because I work in a grease pit, I'm not good enough.
Oh, now, Rudy, you got this all wrong.
Have I?
Now, look, Berta's our only child. Naturally, as parents...
Naturally, as parents, you think that anybody who has the gall to have a date with your daughter...
Now, well, that's not so.
It is so. You're all alike. You think I'm a no-good bum.
Now, Rudy, I swear, I never thought
anything...
When
I come here to your house, I eat. I treat your daughter decent. I try to act like a normal guy. But what does it get me?
Now, Rudy, please.
You're all alike. You never give anybody a break. You never listen to anybody else's side of the story. Berta!
I'll be ready in just a second, Rudy.
Well, come on. We haven't got all night. You want to tell her not to go out with me tonight?
I wish you wouldn't take it like this, Rudy.
Go ahead. You tell her not to go out with me.
Well, if you're not more reasonable, I may have to do that.
All right, you try it. I just take so much of this kind of pushing around, and then I do something.
Okay, I'm ready. Night, Daddy.
Good night, Berta.
We probably won't be home till late, so don't wait up.
We won't.
Well, let's go, Rudy.
Okay. Good night, Mr. Welch. It was nice having a talk with you. I appreciate your interest.
We checked the motel where Herron had first stayed and then began to call at all the houses or apartments where rooms were for rent. On Sunday morning, we located the room where Herron was staying. When we made a search of the room, we found newspaper clippings of the New York shooting, several boxes of .32 caliber cartridges, and a bottle of hair dye in the bathroom. The owner of the rooming house didn't know where Herron was. He told us that Herron had a car, and he knew the license number. While we waited at the room, we notified the state and local police to be on the lookout for this car. The owner of the house believed that Herron intended to go for a drive in the country.
What do you say, Berta? A nice ride in the country?
I can't, Rudy.
What do you mean you can't?
My father wants me to stay home today. I don't know why.
Well, neither do I know why. But I'm going to find out.
Berta?
Yes?
Come here. Was that Rudy?
Yes, it was.
What'd you tell him?
I told him you wanted me to stay home today.
Well, did you explain?
What's to explain? It's just like he says. No matter what he does, you won't like it. He probably won't ever come back again, and that ought to satisfy you.
Eat your breakfast, Carl.
I only asked her to stay in for one day to help you in the yard.
She knows you didn't want her to help me.
Well, what did I want?
To stop seeing so much of Rudy.
All right, I did. The fellow won't even say where he comes from or who his folks were.
You want another cup of coffee?
No.
Well, don't be angry at me. I didn't do anything.
You told me it wasn't a good idea to talk to him. Now you're getting ready to say I told you so.
I wasn't, but I will.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, Carl, let's not fight. We can't hold on to her forever.
I'm not trying to hold on to her. I'm simply trying to...
Yes, dear, I know what you're trying to
do. No, you don't. You think I'm being an old-fashioned fool? Well, I'm not, Martha. There's something wrong about that, Rudy, and I want to know what it is.
Well, hello, Rudy.
Hello, Mrs. Welch. Is Berta home?
Yes.
Is your husband home?
Yes, Rudy, but I
well,
think
never mind
think...
what you think, Mrs. Welch. I want to talk to you and your husband.
There's nothing to talk about, so you better go, Rudy.
Just like that, huh? You don't like me, so I'm supposed to disappear, huh? Blow, just like that.
Rudy.
I came here for Berta. Now, you go and tell her that I'm here, Mrs. Welch.
Don't you talk to my wife like that. What do you think you're... Now, put away that gun, Rudy.
Tell Berta that I'm here, Mrs. Welch.
Now, Rudy,
look, Mr. Welch, you were so close to being dead that one word, one move, and that's it.
Berta?
Martha.
I'm warning you, Mr. Welch.
I'm coming.
Now, you listen to me, the both of you. I am taking Berta for a ride in the car so that we can talk something over. Now, I'm bringing her back. But if you call the cops, or if you do anything to stop us, she'll get it first. Now, is that clear?
Now, please, Rudy, if there's something that you and Berta want to say,
Mr. Welch, you stop talking.
I'm only trying to...
Carl, do what he says.
Well, are you going to let him...
Yes, she is, and so are you. Now, remember, I'll bring her back. So don't do anything foolish. Now, I'm warning you.
We waited at Herron's room from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Then there was a phone call from the state police. Herron's car had been spotted on State Highway 17. Due to heavy Sunday traffic, the state car had difficulty approaching Herron. And when Herron saw the troopers, he immediately became alarmed. At a crowded intersection, he managed to elude the police car and turned onto Route 75 in the direction of Tulsa.
Rudy, what is this? You've got to tell me.
You saw that state trooper, didn't you?
But you weren't going faster,
Eddie. Your father called him.
What?
He's loused everything up good.
I don't know what you're talking about, but nobody's going to stop us now.
They have. Don't worry.
But just a few minutes ago, you...
Never mind that.
But I will go with you, Rudy, anywhere. I meant that.
Sure you did. But now he's loused it up.
How could he?
Never mind now. Now, Berta, I'm going to let you out of here. You can get a hitch home.
No, I'm going
with
you.
Those troopers aren't kidding around,
Berta. I'm going with you, Rudy.
Get out of here.
No, I won't. I won't.
You'll get out now.
No, I'm going with you like I said I would.
Get out.
Rudy.
Now, get out. You hear me? You tell your old man that he's lucky I didn't do what I said I would. Tell him he's real lucky that I'm so soft-hearted.
Agent Reynolds and I joined in the pursuit of Herron. At 6 o'clock, his car was spotted on a back road. Minutes later, he ran out of gas, stopped, and ran into a wooded area. A police cordon was thrown around the area, and as darkness came on, we used searchlights and loudspeaker equipment.
Herron, you haven't got a chance to get out of there. Come to this light with your hands up. Aaron, stop. Come to this light with your hands up. Aaron, for the last time, come toward this light with your hands up.
All right. All right, I'm coming.
In addition to the charge of assault with intent to kill in the New York case, Rudy Aaron was charged with attempted kidnapping. He was found guilty and sentenced to 30 years in prison. Our books are closed on The Boyfriend.
This is Jim Amici. Are you from California? A Portuguese navigator, Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo, sighted California in the year 1542. For 200 years after Cabrillo's voyage, California remained a quiet and sunny land that was divided into vast ranches. Then gold was discovered, and a wave of immigration began which still continues. California's a state of striking contrast. Death Valley is the lowest spot in the United States. Mount Whitney is the highest. California leads the nation in profits from agriculture and fishing, yet it also is prominent in manufacturing and oil production. Many of the families of California have been in the state for hundreds of years, but millions of the state citizens came from other parts of the country. The great scenic beauty of California draws many out-of-state tourists to the Golden State, as does Hollywood, the motion picture capital of the world. California, the 31st state to enter the Union, has contributed much to the heritage of America. In the years ahead, California will add much to America's future.
In tonight's story, Rosemary Rice played the part of Berta Welsh. Bob Reddick was Rudy Harris. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is Warren Sweeney inviting you to listen to next week's story, Four Dozen Roses, on The FBI in Peace and War.